Welcome to church, everyone. It's not quite what we're expecting on Christmas Sunday, but it's great to have you with us, and especially for those on Zoom or YouTube, it's great they can tune in. And a big welcome to those who are guests with us or friends who are tuning in. Hopefully we'll see you face to face one day and not just via the computer stream. Well, I wonder how you went with that discussion question. And I wonder what it is that you think is worth waiting for. What's worth waiting for? The PlayStation 5 came out just a few weeks ago. It's the latest gaming machine, especially because the PlayStation 4 came out in 2013. And so here is the latest and greatest. And there was a huge weight of people lining up to grab one. On Black Friday, when there are discounts, people were lining up for days just so that they can get their hands on a PlayStation 5. People brought along tents and sleeping bags. Someone even bought a fully framed bed and mattress to sleep on in comfort. Here is something that they thought is worth waiting for, but it's also quite ridiculous because each store only guaranteed 2 machines per store, and so people lining up for days, a lot of them missed out. They went home with nothing. What is it that you think is worth waiting for? What are you waiting for? Maybe you're waiting for the end of this year to finally get past 2020. Maybe you're waiting for the end of restrictions. Maybe it's waiting to go overseas again, being able to finally travel. But maybe it's actually something more deep-seated than that. Maybe you're waiting for a relationship, or maybe you're waiting for a relationship to get better. You're waiting for a new job, someone that you love, maybe even yourself, to get well again. Now, they're the serious things that we might be waiting for, but maybe on the other end, if you're a kid or if you're a big kid at heart, maybe you're waiting for Christmas, that you've been waiting finally, and here it is, just 5 days away, looking forward to the presents, the food, the celebrations, not having to work for a couple of weeks. Now, if you've ever waited for Christmas, whether as an adult or as a child, it is nothing compared to the guy that we meet in Luke chapter 2. You see, when we wait for Christmas, we might wait for a few weeks. We wait 12 months at the most. The guy in the passage that Tom read out to us in Luke chapter 2, he has been waiting for Christmas his entire life. He has been waiting for years and decades. Now, in the passage that was read up for us, we meet two people. We meet Anna and Simeon, and we're going to focus on Simeon himself. Now, both of those people, they've been waiting for Christmas for ages. Not to open the Christmas presents, not so that they can see the grandkids or spend time with family, not even to have a couple of weeks off from work. Simeon, do you see what he's waiting for? In verse 25, Luke tells us he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel. Now that's a strange phrase, we'll come back to that in a little bit, but basically he's waiting for God to comfort his people. He's waiting for God to bring peace and blessing, and it's going to be great. And in verse 26, God has told Simeon through the Holy Spirit that Simeon would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, the idea behind the Christ, it is huge. You see, hundreds and hundreds of years before what we read here in Luke chapter 2, God had promised that a king would come. And not just any king, this is God's king, God's special king. That's who the Christ is, the one who's going to bring that peace and blessing. And God had said to Simeon that before he dies, he will see the Christ. This is a huge promise. And so here in Luke 2, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple when he's basically a baby. He's around 6 weeks old here. Simeon picks up this little baby and he says effectively, I can die now. I am good. Now that's a strange thing to say when you meet a baby. Eva is our youngest. She is almost 8 years old. And when she was born, it was very exciting. We had all sorts of visitors coming around. And when you have family and friends, you pass the baby around. Now, not once did someone pick up Eva and say, my life is complete. I can die now. I'm good to go. As exciting as Eva was, it didn't happen. But here is Simeon, a complete stranger, who with complete contentment, he says, I'm ready to die. The last thing that I've been waiting for, it's done. He can tick it off. That's our first point this morning. For Simeon and Anna, the wait is over. And as we'll see a bit later, that wait is over for us as well. Christmas is here because Jesus is here. But why is Jesus so important? Why is it that when Simeon meets this baby, he is ready to die? And to answer that, we need to look at his speech in verses 29 to 32, a very short speech. And he says, Jesus is salvation. Jesus is salvation. Let me read verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon basically says, I'm ready to die. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. And then verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This 1 month old baby that he's holding in his hands is the salvation of God. Now that's a little bit surprising because salvation back then, you wouldn't think of a little baby. Salvation here is not an army to march against the enemies of God. Salvation is not a way of life. It's not trying to be kind to people. It's not doing more good things than bad things. Salvation is this tiny little baby. That's what the consolation of Israel is in verse 25. The consolation of Israel. It's a phrase that actually comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, around 700 years before Jesus was born. Israel back then are the people of God, but Israel keeps turning their backs on God. And so they face God's judgment. They deserve the anger of God. But God promises in Isaiah 40 that God is going to bring comfort. He's going to bring consolation. All the things that they've done against God, all of their guilt, their rebellion, their shame, he's going to forgive all of that. And they're going to be clean. That's the amazing promise of God. It's a promise of salvation. Being right with God. And Simeon picks up this little baby. He sees Jesus and says, here is that promise. From 700 years ago, here is salvation. And do you see who the salvation is for? Verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Again, that's picking up a promise from Isaiah, Isaiah 49. The salvation is for Israel, people who are Jewish. But the salvation is for the Gentiles, people who are not Jewish. In other words, it's for everyone. There aren't different ways to God. It's not that there's a Buddhist way if you're a Buddhist, or there's a Muslim way if you're a Muslim, or you try to be good if you're a humanist. There is one way. And it's God's way. For the Buddhist and the Muslim and the humanist, the only way to be saved is Jesus. I remember talking to a friend in high school, and he said this not because of an argument that was not heated behind this. He said, isn't it arrogant to say that every other religion is wrong? And yet, if this is the way that God has given us, in the form of this baby Jesus, isn't it arrogant for us to say that God is wrong? And to say to ourselves that actually I should be allowed to choose whichever way that I want and God should just be happy with it. No, to actually say that this is the only way is to be humble and listening to God. Especially if we see how Jesus is going to save us. Now in verse 35, Simeon says to Mary, the mother of Jesus, he says to Mary that a sword is going to pierce her soul. There it's a glimpse of the cross and the pain that's going to come. You see, Jesus, believe it or not, he actually grows up and he becomes a man. This baby that we celebrate at Christmas one day is killed on a cross for us. So that all that you've done wrong and all that I've done wrong, all of my selfishness and my greed, my anger, my pride, all of my mistakes and my guilt and shame, all of that is forgiven. It's poured out on Jesus and he deals with it. He wipes it away. See, friends, here is the wonderful gift of Christmas. God sent his son to die so that people like you and me, we can be forgiven. This is the salvation that we all need. The wait is over. Jesus is salvation. The last point that we need to think about this morning is actually our own response to Jesus. Because Jesus comes and he divides. There is rising and falling. Simeon says to Mary in verse 34, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel." You see, when Jesus comes, he divides the world into two groups. There are those who oppose him. People like the religious leaders of the day, people like Herod and Pilate, people who thought they were fine without Jesus. And to turn your back on the one who is the salvation of God, that means falling. It means that one day facing the judgment of God. But if we see this baby for who he is, like Anna does, like Simeon does, like his father and mother does, like millions of people around the world, even today, well, if we see who Jesus is, this child causes many to rise. This is God's salvation. We might be trapped in all sorts of worries and anxieties, especially with COVID-19 around. We might be struggling with physical ailments, emotional pain, broken relationships. But here is God's rescue for the world. See, by ourselves, we are all stuck in our sin and rebellion. We are all stuck in death. But God raises us up because of Jesus. He raises us into life and forgiveness and hope. That is what God gives us. Instead of falling, there is a promise of being raised up. Now, I wonder what you're waiting for this Christmas, that discussion question, what we kicked off with. Maybe you're waiting for a PlayStation 5. Good luck if that's you. Maybe you're waiting for a vaccine. Maybe you're waiting to be able to travel again. Now, our family, we've had a very busy year this year, so we haven't had the chance to put up our Christmas tree. So our kids, they're waiting to put that up, which we're hopefully going to do tomorrow. Christmas tree hasn't been done yet, but we've done our Christmas lights. We were good with that. We've set it up so far in advance. We've set it up from last year because we haven't quite taken them down yet. Now, sometimes Christmas can seem like the same thing over and over again. You know, the same songs come on the radio, the same movies on TV. Love Actually is that classic, and it was on last week. I even end up watching most of it again. It means sometimes coming Christmas, we're racking our brains trying to work out what to buy as a present. The same Christmas story, it doesn't change. And so for us, it just ticks over. Christmas 2020, maybe we need to look again and see why Simeon is so excited. This baby, Jesus, is God's salvation for us. And we can ignore him, we can pass him over. It's like when you get a Christmas card from the bank or the real estate agent, we take a look at it, then we throw it away. Because we just ignore it, we pass over. It's just one of the things that happens at Christmas time. Or we can realize that here is God's present to us, and it's his own son. Maybe we need to take a closer look, read through the rest of Luke's gospel. Do that over the Christmas period. We run Christianity Explored. Stephen mentioned that beforehand. It is a great way to see who Jesus is. If you're interested in that, it only goes for a few weeks. Jump onto our website, send us an email, send us a text to say, I'd be interested. It'd be a great way to see this gift. Because the question that Luke leaves us with is, will you fall on Jesus because we just move on? Or will you rise up like Simeon and be blown away by this baby who's born at Christmas and to see the greatest gift there is, God giving us his son to save us? Have a great Christmas and hopefully see you sometime soon.